Girl, it's 70 degrees and sunny out. I wanted to check in with you.
Happy fake spring.
Happy fake spring.
Don't get too comfortable.
It's full spring. I know. It's going to be 40 on Friday.
It's a very nice reprieve.
Yes.
But like, well, also, we're recording this in early March.
Yeah.
This is coming out months after because high bonus episodes.
Oh, right. It'll be like a solid 95 the day this episode comes out.
But yeah, by the time this comes out, it'll be the actual season that you're hoping.
Yeah.
I think.
I biked to the studio today.
It's a gorgeous day outside.
It's so beautiful. Okay, just making sure you're okay.
I'm not. Not like the witch under the fucking bridge.
I know. Hi, Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines. But check back in August when I'm fucking over.
I know. It's like me. Like, we had Daisy's birthday party this weekend and all the parents were like, sorry, we haven't seen you in 2 months. We haven't been able to get off the couch.
And I don't want to hear a single one of you, like team you.
I don't
even come to me about how hot it is in the summer.
You guys begged for this. I know.
No, I will not.
I'm the king of like, it's 110 and humid and I'm so happy.
Well, enjoy it.
I wanted to congratulate you on something.
What?
Congratulations to you. I was heave sobbing at my computer at 7:30 this morning watching this.
No problem. So welcome to the bonus episodes. This is the series Naming the Dead. It is, I think, probably my favorite series that we cover.
It started to play the next episode when this one ended. And I'm like, no, I can't. I've got other work to do.
We're doing the next episode.
Are we?
Eventually.
Okay.
It is so good.
Yeah.
I love this series so much. This is season 1, episode 3, The Body in the Sand. It's on Hulu. I don't know if there's more of this series coming. I think it is excellent.
It's all about these amazing women. They're all women, so far at least, who are finding like dead bodies and giving them their names back through genetic genealogy.
The DNA Doe Project specifically is working on these cases.
It's incredible.
Their website is amazing. Like, they have updates on the case. The show is, I cry every time we cover it.
Me too, but this one especially got me. I was like head down. Steve had to come in and check on me.
I know, like what's happening?
It's crazy.
This is where Jane Doe was located. It's very, very desolate.
You could clandestinely get in here, drop a body off, and then leave, and nobody would ever know.
Someone walking their dog came across human remains.
The body was found in the Arizona desert near Apache Junction, 30 miles east of Phoenix.
There are still questions as to how she ended up away from her home.
This was a young girl. She had her whole life ahead of her. I just want her family to know that she hasn't been forgotten.
So we're in a place called Apache Junction, Arizona. It's 30 miles east of Phoenix. We learned that a Jane Doe was found in this area. They're saying that she was about 16 to 17 when she was found. And then in 2008, the Jane Doe had been sitting there for 17 years.
Enter Stephanie Bourgeau. She's a crime scene technician. She's the one who's like, I am determined to find the identity of this girl.
Great job with the pronunciation of the last name. I was like, but Stephanie, how do we say this?
Bourgeau. Didn't she say it herself?
Did she?
She must have.
I was too busy, like, because I watch it on half my screen and then my notes are on the other half. So all the notes are, the type is very small. So I'm like leaned all the way. So I probably missed her saying it.
Well, she's awesome.
She is.
She is showing us, this episode starts, we dive right in. She's showing us everything that Jane Doe had on her when she was found in 1992.
This is a bus token and valid for one student fare is what it says on the back. This other item is a gold nugget ring. It's just a gold band. There has to be family out there that wants to know where their daughter, their sister is.
So Stephanie's like, okay, this is a young girl. I want to identify who she is, but also contact her family who must be devastated.
Yeah.
Not knowing what happened to
her. Literally, like, there's got to be a family out there wondering where this little girl is.
So Stephanie exhumes Jane Doe's body.
Yes.
Which is, as we know, very hard to do.
Yeah.
So Stephanie gets the DNA so she can start her research, and there's nothing.
They do a facial reconstruction, and when we finally, like, obviously this always ends with us finding out who the victim is. The facial reconstruction and the picture of the victim are, like, identical.
It's really amazing.
It's one of the best I've ever seen in because sometimes you're like, that doesn't look anything like the person.
Yeah.
But this one, they nailed it.
And so we learned that Jane Doe is between 16 and 18 years old, between 5'11 and 5'1", and she has brown hair, and that's kind of all we know right now.
Yeah, and they plaster the face on billboards all over the Phoenix area, and they get no luck with that either.
Eventually, she was reburied. Now it's just unidentified. That's when I saw the magazine article with the DNA Doe Project doing genetic testing. I just felt we need to try and do this.
But her gravestone says unidentified, which is just like, we can't let that stand.
It's funny. I almost said this to you before we started. I'm like, I'm going to save this until we start. I know that, like, over the last couple of years, you've been thinking, like, what can you do? Like, how can you...
I want to work for them so bad.
I really saw you. I could see you with your hair in a messy top knot.
Totally.
At the computer. Because all of these women get up at 4 a.m. because they have to check and see if any more matches have been put in the database, because that's how they, like, solve these things. And I was like, I could 100% see you doing this.
I think I'd be really good at it.
No question.
I think about it every time we cover this. I think about it randomly. It'll pop in and be like, I don't know where to start, but maybe I'll just email them.
Well,
I want to do this.
Genetic genealogy is like doing a puzzle. From people that we've talked to who have done it and just seen it in these documentaries, it can be incredibly frustrating because somebody says at one point, you can spend 100 hours on one of these cases and get nothing.
Yeah.
In terms of like, you can like trace a family line all the way back, but like it doesn't result in any answers for your case.
Yeah. But like, there's a part of that, as you're talking about it, I'm like, but isn't that great?
Well,
you can like hyper-focus on one thing until you...
Yes. But here's my question to you. Solving these cases requires like everybody to submit their DNA to these online databases.
So Jennifer Randolph, who is in all of these episodes, she's the director of cases.
Yeah.
She has said, because a lot of these cases are people of color, and a lot of people of color are like, I'm not doing this because, and for totally understandable reasons. But she has also said like, that's not what we do for the DNA Doe Project.
Yeah.
Because they've definitely put calls out, and we'll cover this in the next episode of this series that we do, like asking people of color, specifically Black people, like, we want to help you find your people, especially with slavery. Like, there was a lot, like, we need a lot of help there.
Yeah.
So she has explained why this is a safe place for people to submit their DNA, the DNA Doe Project specifically. But I hear the hesitation and the fear. Like, I get it.
Girl, Batch is a new sponsor. So fam, Batch is a Wisconsin-based hemp and wellness brand founded by chemical engineers, people who actually understand formulations, not just marketing.
Yeah, they built the brand on one principle, full lab transparency and clean ingredients and nothing you can't verify. You know we love this.
So let me talk about these micromints. The micromints are a sublingual CBD and THC mint designed for daily calm and mood support. And sublingual, by the way, just means it absorbs really fast. So like, you get it fast.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not sedation, it's not a buzz.
Yes.
You're just like kind of feeling more like yourself.
It's like, imagine you're just having a tough day or whatever, or you're feeling a little tired or you're feeling a little whatever. You pop one of these things and like in a minute or two, you're feeling much better.
Yeah. I am very into the recreation THC gummies.
Oh, tell me everything, party girl.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They come in 3 targeted blends. It's not a problem. You can do like mellow, hybrid, uplifts. You can choose your experience instead of being like, oh, I guess I'll take a gummy and see how this one makes me feel.
Yeah.
Which is not fun for anybody.
No.
So each gummy pairs microdose THC with full spectrum CBD for like a very smooth, balanced effect. It's a much cleaner alternative to winding down with alcohol. There's like no hangover, no guesswork. And you know exactly what you're doing. I love the uplift one.
So like, that's the thing. It's just, it's gonna like just make you be the more you that you can possibly be.
Yeah, like you're still functional. You're not like locked to the couch. Don't worry.
Oh my God, not even close.
We're not doing that.
So fam, we love it. Right now, Batch is offering 30% off site-wide. And yes, that applies to subscriptions too. So you can lock in that discount on your monthly supply.
Go to hellobatch.com/obsessed and use code obsessed at checkout.
Get the micromints.
Or the recreational gummies. But so Stephanie, our technician here, she learns about the DNA Doe Project and in like a magazine article.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, this is who I need to contact.
Well, because I'm shocked that cases like this aren't like profiled all the time. Not only like do they often have an ending with like an ending.
Yeah.
But like it's doing the good work. It's like they're interesting stories. Like the stories of these cases being like, I'm surprised they're not on magazines every week.
I can't believe this isn't one of those series that has 12 seasons and 28 episodes.
I know.
Season.
Like, I know.
Why is there only... I mean, we're doing every last episode of this.
Do you know what the answer to that might be? It might just be that there aren't a lot of solved cases. Because, like, when we see how the lengths to which these women have to go to solve these and, like, the participation from the public that is required, they might not get a lot of solves.
But you know what, though? put the stories on the episodes and we'll talk about it and we'll help.
That's a great
idea. That's what needs to, who cares? Like, at least, like, let's get several steps into the process and, like, leave it to the public. And
leave
we'll
it to the
it.
Podcasters.
We'll do it.
We will save the day.
We'll try. Anyway.
Yeah.
But Jennifer, who is in all of these episodes, she's the director of cases for the DNA Doe Project. She says,
at the DNA Doe Project, we believe that every person deserves to be laid to rest with their name and have the dignity of their identity. We are the last resort for the toughest cases, and we'll do everything we can to help them.
We are the last resort for the toughest cases, and we will do everything we can to help them. And these people are all mostly volunteers.
They're volunteers.
Yeah.
So she tells us about the DNA results in this case. So our Jane Doe is Hispanic on her mother's side and German and African-American on her father's side. And she says that is an unusual and challenging mix to work with.
Yeah.
But they find an African-American man named Patrick Smith.
Yes. Patrick shares enough it's so weird to do an episode with your own name in
it. I'm sure.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
But this guy, Patrick, shares enough DNA with the Jane Doe that he could be her uncle.
Right.
Meaning that this guy, Patrick's sibling, would be this Jane Doe's parents.
Right. So let's go to North Carolina because Patrick is here with us.
Yeah. And he's outside. Now, I don't know about this. He says he's outside doing yard work. Like, an unmarked police car is just, like, parked in front of his house.
Right, to a black man in North Carolina.
Yeah, and, like, says to the guy, are you Patrick Smith? I have a lady in Arizona who's been looking for you. That could go a million directions.
And I'm sure Patrick was like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, what does she want?
So, but it's Stephanie,
yes,
our crime scene technician. And Patrick calls Stephanie, and Stephanie's like, hey, how are you? I have a really important question for you. Do you have a brother? Now, this makes Patrick super emotional.
I was adopted. I had no idea about my birth family. So this was a shock. I've got a niece who's deceased. And I've got a brother that I never knew.
And he had no idea he had a brother. And now Stephanie is calling him and telling him that he does.
And not only do you have a brother, but you have a niece who's dead.
Right.
All of this is a shock to Patrick.
And we don't have any answers. And can you help us?
Yeah. The twists and turns in this story are so fascinating.
And it makes Stephanie emotional, too, because this is a lead. And she goes, it's just been such a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, Stephanie is literally sobbing as she's saying this. And, like, you know, they're going to tell us. We meet Karen.
She brings us all down to earth real quick.
Right.
She's like, everyone can, like, be in their feelings. However.
Yep. And she says adoptions are the worst nightmare of a genetic genealogist.
Right.
A genealogist, by the way, is an incredibly hard word to spell.
It's very annoying.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's a
There's
great...
no I in the first part of that word. Make it make sense.
Yeah, it's the word gene, G-E-N-E, and then we go straight to A.
I know! I was like, well, I kept getting the red line that I was spelling it wrong, and I was like, this can't... Once again, I had to, like, zoom in, and I'd, like, lean into my computer to, like, the lower third of this person and find the word gene. It's a hard word.
Yeah.
It's just a hard word.
It's a great thing.
Yes.
Hard word.
Tough to spell.
You know?
And I'm not good at spelling in the first place.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
We're being honest here today.
Absolutely true. Spelling is for the birds.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Spell check. Like,
I know. And I get the red line in my nose all the time. And I'm like, it's close enough. I'll know
it's
it when
it's just for you.
Exactly.
For
I'm
you
like,
anyway.
I can sound that out.
So Karen's here, but also Harmony is here. She's another volunteer.
I immediately volunteered as soon as I heard about this case because I was, you know, a troubled teen. And I put myself in situations sometimes that weren't very safe. I made it through that, but not everyone does.
She made it through and not everyone does. There's a 16-year-old girl with a bus pass and Harmony is just wondering, like, what could have happened to her?
And then Karen, the other genealogist, is saying she has a teenage daughter. And she's like, my kid is just getting to that age now where every one of these in my heart and brain relates to her.
Yeah.
And Karen's just saying, like, I can't imagine her, like, going missing and, like, not knowing what happened to her.
I just love them so much because they're like, we're fighting for these girls. Harmony's red lip looks amazing. It's so hard to pull off.
We're going to see later, she's wearing a tank top. She is covered in tattoos.
They're, like, so fucking cool.
I know.
And they give a shit. And you
and
know that really
care.
Goes such a long way with
Harmony
me.
Later is going to tell us that she was up at 4 a.m. looking at the matches coming in. I'm like, Harmony.
Days going by, not a sip of water sipped.
I know.
Love it.
Take care of yourselves, but keep doing the good work.
I know, but like,
I know.
Who needs water when you're this close?
See, this is the thing. We're going to lose you completely if you start this work.
It's true.
Jillian, you got to come out. We got to record an episode.
I'm still emailing them, though.
I know, please do.
So Patrick, the uncle, is their best bet. Everyone else connected to Jane Doe in the database shares less than 1% of their DNA with her. So the goal, as we know, is to build this massive family tree connecting all these people together.
It looks so overwhelming to me.
It's like trying to connect the dots. And this is where they tell us, like, tedious doesn't even begin to cover it.
No.
And it can be so frustrating because it's hundreds of hours. And when you don't get anywhere, you're like, well, where do I go from here? It's like roadblock after roadblock after
roadblock. Because you have to work your way all the way back through the generations to then work your way up back. You know what I mean?
And sometimes you just gotta wait.
Yeah.
Sometimes the information isn't there and you just have to wait until someone uploads their DNA and it's enough of a match for the case you're working on, which is why this takes years.
And the thing about the genetic genealogy, it's not just doing the computer work. Like oftentimes you get names and now you've got to go to the public records office.
Right.
And like, certain, like, because you get a name and you're like, great, I got this person, but I need to find that person's spouse. Now I have to go find marriage records from the 1800s.
Right. Which is why, like, and we'll talk about it in the next episode, when someone is brought over on a slave ship and they're not like identified by their name, it makes it next to impossible.
Yes.
But we get a new match.
Anything above 1% would be significant. At 1.4%, Anastasia will still be a distant cousin. But she offers a brand new lead. A search of her name in public records shows she has Hispanic heritage.
And I'm like, we got 1.4. I will take this win and we will run with it.
We learned that this person's name is Anastasia. This is the 1.4% match. And she could be like a distant cousin to our Jane Doe.
On the mother's side.
On the mother's side,
which is why it's such a big deal, because we have Patrick from the father's side.
Yes.
So now, like, we're expanding our family tree, which is, again, a major win after hundreds of hours.
Yes.
So Anastasia lives in Tucson, Arizona, which is just a few hours from where Jane Doe was found. This is another win. Like, okay, they're close. Maybe there's a lot of family here.
Well, because the thing about it that I was, just to go back to the beginning for a second, is the likeness of the facial rendering that they do looks so much like the real victim that it almost tells you that the family can't possibly live in Phoenix. Because if they did, somebody would have seen these billboards.
Yeah, it's because they might not know she exists. It might be so far back. If it's a distant cousin, you don't know.
I know. I was thinking about this too. Like many, many years ago, I was working on a podcast that never came to be about the Brian Schaefer case.
Yes.
Who went missing in, if you guys don't know this case, I'm obsessed with it. He like literally in 2006 walked into a bar in Columbus and never came out. And so we put up billboards all over Columbus and we reached out to his family to say like, hey, just to let you know, we're doing this so that like, if you are driving down the highway and you see a billboard of your brother, you don't drive off the road.
Sure.
But then I was thinking like with this Jane Doe's family, like how shocking that would be to be driving down the road and you see like, it, you know what I mean?
Oh, of course.
It could actually put people in danger,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's surreal. And it's like, you just lose sight of yourself.
Sight of time and space and 100%. The steering wheel and everything. Girl, O Positive is a new sponsor. Tell us everything.
Yeah, so O Positive is a women's health company, and they have a really big range of symptom-targeting supplements that support women at every stage of their life. So we're talking like from your first period to well beyond your last period.
They've got the best-selling women's health products at Target and Amazon. Fan, we're talking Euro. The Euro Vaginal Probiotic is one of the top five supplements on Amazon, and they've got multiple number one products in Target for intimate care, PMS, and menopause categories.
Yeah. Yeah, and so Euro is a probiotic blend specifically formulated to support vaginal health. So there are a lot of factors like sex or tight clothing or sweat or just hormones or periods or whatever. A great many things can disrupt vaginal health and lead to an imbalance in vaginal flora and pH. And we don't like that because it could cause like unhealthy vaginal odor or taste or abnormal discharge and discomfort. And we're not doing that anymore. So the Euro Vaginal Probiotic is where it's at.
Fantastic. When taken daily, Euro delivers noticeable benefits within 8 weeks. Many may see results sooner. Many customers talk about how the improvement in vaginal health led to greater confidence as well as better sex and intimacy.
Yeah, so take proactive care of your health and head to opositive.com/TCO or enter TCO at checkout for 25% off your first purchase.
That's opositive.com/TCO for 25% off.
So Stephanie is like, all right, I got to talk to Anastasia. So she heads over there and she meets with Anastasia and Debbie, which is another cousin in the family.
Yes.
And they don't have that much information. Like,
so on your side of the family, do you recall anybody having a partner or husband, boyfriend that was African-American?
I know that there's some on my mom's side, but I can't remember who exactly.
Okay.
Was married to or had kids with.
They think maybe someone had a child with a black man, but they can't 100% be sure that it even happened, let alone who it was.
Yeah, but Anastasia and Debbie are all in because they're going to do the thing that we really need, which is they're going to go to their family and say, y'all got to spit into this cup and like submit your DNA because we got to figure out. We've got like a dead relative that's been missing and these people are trying to help. We got to figure this out.
And they're going to like try to help make the family tree by calling people and see who knows who. And they're like really doing the work here.
And maybe that's another reason why we don't have more episodes. Like, how many families, even if they get these cases get solved, necessarily want cameras on all of it?
Yeah.
It's like a very sensitive thing.
It is. And I think the show really takes care of all those things.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
Time and time again, we see these either or we don't see the conversations like in this episode later on.
Yeah.
Or they're handled with like such care as they need to. And the DNA Doe Project, they know what the hell they're doing.
There's just another case I'm obsessed with. It's called the bag murders from the 1970s in New York. It was like six gay men separately found in trash bags in the Hudson River. They were mutilated and put in these bags. And it just kills me to, like, I was just thinking as I was watching this episode, like, great, like, let's exhume them and get their DNA and, like, put them in a database. Nobody knows where they are. Nobody has any files on the case. This was 1970 New York City. No files on any. We don't even know their names. We don't have any of their names. We don't even know where they were buried, probably on Hart Island in one of those mass graves or something. We'll never. Somebody said to me the other day, we're never going to know. And they just had to, like, say it to me. Like, we're never going to know.
That's unbelievable.
And, like, it's the perfect storm of, like, it's the 1970s. Right. They probably fled to Greenwich Village. Their families are probably out there thinking that they're out, that these men are out living, like, fabulous gay lives in New York. No, they're all dead. They were brutally murdered. We'll never be able to give them their names back. We'll never be able to tell the families what happened to them. And it just, it's heartbreaking because we have the technology now.
Yeah. But, like, we need so much more as we learn in these episodes. Like,
I know.
We do need a lot of things to fall into place.
Yeah.
So let's go back with Uncle Patrick. He is going through all of his documents, trying to find information that can help.
This story is, because he tells us, he's looking at his adoption papers. His adoption was processed on January 16th, 1956. And this is where we learn that he was born in a place called Darmstadt, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Record scratch. Right. What?
So Patrick learns that he was part of a post-war project called, they call it in this series, the Brown Babies Adoption Scheme.
Yeah.
I know it as the plan or project. I've never heard the word scheme attached to it, so I might be wrong. I mean, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what happened is,
just imagine children scrubbing themselves raw to try and wash off the brown color. That was the reality for thousands of kids born to German women after World War II and then fathered by black American soldiers.
To save them from the prejudice they faced in Germany, 7,000 of these babies were sent to the United States throughout the 50s and 60s to be adopted by black families.
In the 50s and 60s, these babies were born to German women who had them with black American soldiers. And then they were thrown into like extreme racism in Germany.
Yes.
And so to save them from this prejudice in Germany, 7,000 of these babies were sent to the United States to be adopted by black families. If you are blown away by this.
I am blown away by this.
Okay, look up Mabel Grammer. She's the black journalist who like discovered that this was happening and spearheaded and ran this project.
So this was a good thing, not a bad thing?
This was a good thing.
Oh,
so they were just like, instead of having them, like they weren't being adopted in orphanages because people were so racist and awful.
So the birth mothers were giving them up for adoption.
Because the mothers were, like, also dealing with the racism.
Oh, so, I didn't know if we were dealing with the situation where the kids were being taken from their birth mothers.
No, so look up Mabel Grammer. She's awesome. She is a black journalist who heard about this and was like, wait, what? So she personally made 500 adoptions happen.
Wow.
She and her husband, who was an army chief, adopted 12 of these babies.
Oh, my God. That's too many kids, Mabel.
Yeah,
you're doing the good work, but I got one and I can barely keep up.
So she and her husband were like, oh, because they're black. And she was like this black journalist who was like, wait a second. And she would be sort of the go-between because a lot of, look her up. There's a lot here.
I'm glad to hear that this was a positive thing and not like a terrifyingly awful bad thing.
To be fair, did I do 4 hours of research on this today?
Of course.
No, but like look
up. You were too busy trying to do genetic genealogy all day.
But like look up, like her obituary was in the New York Times. Like she is known for, because she saw something awful and she was like, how can I help these fucking babies who didn't do anything wrong?
Of course.
But are dealing with this awful racism for being mixed or being being black or whatever.
Yeah.
So she really spearheaded this Brown Babies Project, which is what they called it.
So Uncle Patrick says that, like, growing up, he had no siblings. He felt very alone, felt very much like an outsider. And he says it was probably the same for my brother.
Yeah, he's essentially saying, like, it would have been nice to have a brother.
Exactly.
And I'm sure his brother is feeling the same way.
Yeah.
So now we got to find Patrick's brother.
Here's
what we know. He was born in Germany.
Because just as a reminder, Patrick's brother is the father of our Jane Doe.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So he's born in Germany.
So we know we're looking for an African-American man who was probably born in Darmstadt. And we also know that he would have had a child with a Hispanic woman, probably in the Phoenix area. So we're looking for this very specific couple, and we just have to figure out how to find them.
Later in life, he did have a child with a Hispanic woman, most likely in the Phoenix area.
Yes.
And this is when the DNA Doe Project is like, okay, this is when it gets really exciting, because this is a very, very specific couple. And they say, we just have to figure out how to find them. But they know exactly what they're looking for.
I'm like connecting the dots a little bit too, because I was like, oh, it'd be interesting to get the story as to why Patrick's DNA was in the system. Oh, Patrick's DNA was in the system because he was looking to see if he had any brother, any family, because he was adopted.
Right.
You know?
And he didn't know his birth family because it wasn't really about, it was about getting these kids, these babies' homes and other families. So it wasn't really about his birth family at the time in this project.
You know? And it's just like, I mean, I know that this is the whole point of the episode, but it's so wild that they were able to find the uncle.
I know.
And then the uncle was adopted. So like, doesn't know his brother who's the dad. Like it's a wild story.
And it took years even to get here.
Yes.
Years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we get another match. And remember how they were like, anything above one is good.
Yes.
15.2, everyone. 15.2%.
It doesn't feel like enough, but I'm screaming.
But this match is one of the relatives on the mom's side, which again is great because we need this big family tree, so we need both sides.
By the way, this is the match that Harmony found at 4 a.m.
I love her.
I felt so seen in that moment.
The red lip, the nails.
I know.
Like, they're both so awesome. But this match
could be like as close as a first cousin.
Yes, exactly. Which means that her aunt is likely the Doe's mother.
Which means this cousin's aunt could be our Jane Doe's mother. We're getting closer.
You're losing me, but yes.
We're getting closer.
This is a good thing.
I love this show so much. Like, I always get so emotional.
Girl, ButcherBox is back. Fam, ButcherBox delivers over 100 premium protein options straight to your door, from grass-fed beef to wild-caught seafood.
And it's all raised and sourced the right way. So no antibiotics, no added hormones, no fillers, just clean, reliable protein that you can feel good serving.
And like, not a day too soon, it's grilling season, fam, and quality really matters, so better meat means better flavor, fewer mistakes on the grill, and meals that actually live up to the moment, whether it's a quick weeknight dinner or a full weekend cookout.
And it's super flexible, so you don't have to make all these decisions this minute. Like, you can customize your box based on what you're cooking.
Yep.
It all ships free. It gives you recipes, grilling tips, and exclusive deals. So whether you're a beginner or like a total grill master, you've got everything you need to make it a great grilling season.
Let me tell you, you don't need a grill to love ButcherBox. We don't have one. We get it every month. I've got like literally a freezer full of filet mignon, pork shoulder, all kinds of fish, from salmon to striped bass. Like, we are just stocked.
I was going to say salmon to serve with your piping hot Chardonnay.
With my piping hot Chardonnay. You know how I like it.
You know?
Fam, as an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between free sirloin tips, ground beef, or chicken wings in every box for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/TCO.
That's right. Your choice of free sirloin tips, ground beef, or chicken wings in every box for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always.
That's butcherbox.com/TCO.
And don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Yeah. Let them know we sent you.
Yeah.
Get those tips. Girl, Earnin is back. Look, this is the app that gives you access to what you've already worked for, up to $150 a day, up to $1,000 between paydays. It's your money. You should get it when you want it.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. It's access to your money. So that's why there's no interest, no credit checks, no mandatory fees, because that money is yours.
Yeah, like, waiting to get paid twice a month makes money scarce sometimes. I'm telling you, there have been times in my life where if I could access the money that I earned today, it would have made a big, huge difference.
And there's just something about, like, actually genuinely feeling in control of your finances. finances.
Yes.
Not stressed out, not waiting.
And fam, Earnin is not a bank finance app, and they've got over 5 million people using this thing and growing. So fam, download Earnin on the App Store or Google Play.
Spelled like earning money without the G.
Type in True Crime Obsessed under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show.
All right, we got some mandatory disclaimers.
Lay them on us, GP.
Number one, Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank.
Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees.
Expedited transfers available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service.
Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit earnin.com for full details. They go to social media to find the information on this person who would be the aunt.
Yeah. And so they find her.
Yes.
Her name is Rachel. She married a black man named Benjamin, who, guess what? Where was he born? Germany.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, this is going to be Patrick's brother.
This is it.
Yeah.
And Argento's father. So, Karen and Harmony meet up with Stephanie, the crime scene technician who, started this whole crusade.
For the first time, by the way, they say after 20,000 Zoom meetings, they finally get to meet in person.
Can you stand it?
I know.
In a parking lot. They're
it's
all so
good.
Emotional.
Yeah.
And so, the volunteers fill Stephanie in on everything. We're all crying.
Yes.
And when they put the photos of Patrick and Benjamin side by side.
It's as though they're twins.
I was like, is that the other reveal?
They look exactly alike.
So there's no question.
It also, it fucking breaks my heart that they separated them at birth.
I know.
I don't know why. I mean, I guess if you're just trying to find good homes in this family only wanted one or whatever.
I guess that they were just doing
the best
to get them
could.
Out of this super racist situation to get them
just
a good life.
Split up the brothers breaks my heart.
I know.
Stephanie cannot process any of this. Every time they tell Stephanie anything, she's like, what? Because you can tell that Stephanie's been working on this for 15 years or something.
Alone.
Yeah.
And now she has this team of people behind her who are like, no, this is what we do.
Right.
You know? And she's been in this by herself for all these years.
Yeah.
Must be amazing. So Benjamin, the brother, he married Rachel, and they've been divorced since at least 1985. They have 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls.
In 1985, we have Rachel filing some child support papers, which is how we got the birth dates for each of the kids.
So Michelle was born in 74 and Melody was born in 77.
Right.
That's very close because an estimate of Jane Doe's age from 16 to 18. So one of these 2 girls is our Jane Doe.
One of these daughters is our Jane Doe.
Yes.
No question.
Yeah, and you know, she's estimated, again, to be between 16 and 18 years old when she died. But it's also that their birth years are too close, the daughters, to know right away which one it is.
Really could be either one.
Exactly.
And so Jane Doe was discovered in 1992, so we're going to look at public records to see if there are reports about Michelle or Melody going missing or anything.
If one of them sort of disappears from the public records after 1992, then we'll know which one it is. And it's also interesting that, they want to get all of the information before reaching out to the family. They could just reach out to the family and ask.
Yeah.
But they want to get all the info first.
And they don't know what the family knows.
Right.
They don't want to drop this tragic bomb on them.
Because they would essentially be calling the family to tell them that their missing person is dead.
Right. And they don't know how she went missing, what the dynamic was at home or what.
Yeah.
And also Benjamin doesn't know he has a brother. There's a lot happening here.
Right.
So they're going to gather all the information first so they can handle it with the care that needs to be.
And it's amazing that they do it by going to Facebook because everybody's information is just right there.
Yeah. But they're also looking, they're going in person to look up records. They're tracking down high school yearbooks.
Right, right, right. And that's the amazing thing too, is what I was saying before is a lot of this can't be done online because I think it's Karen who's saying that she finds the high school because the high school is mentioned in a lot of the family social media. So she assumes that most of the family went there. She's trying to find the yearbooks online. They don't have them online. She's got to go to the school and look at the yearbooks. And I was like, should I call my high school and make them scan all of the yearbooks just to assist?
Yeah.
So we don't have to have Harmony and Karen flying all over the country.
That's true.
You know?
Just the pages with everyone's
Everyone's name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, we got to do whatever we can. We are crusaders for genetic genealogy at this point.
That's
a good
idea to digitize
High school, scan your yearbooks, put them online.
Yep.
Everybody wants it. I'd contribute $5 to that.
You know? So they are looking at yearbooks from 1992 and 1993. Michelle is in the yearbooks, but Melody is not.
Yeah.
And there's also not a record of Melody anywhere. There's no address or no like driver's license.
All of the other three kids have public records, but Melody does not.
And she's also not in the divorce or custody papers either.
Right. But I was very happy to see that this seems, I mean, the parents are divorced, but the family is intact.
Yes.
You know, like it seems like there was just like normal divorced parents. One kid lives with one, two kids live with the other. And so I was like, we're going to find them. Like this is going to work.
We're going to do it.
Yeah.
So we're told our Jane Doe is Melody.
Yes.
And they track down her family.
Stephanie and another cop are in a cop car with Harmony and Karen. And Harmony and Karen, who are like the genetic genealogists, are not going on this death notice. Well, just the cops are going.
Because it's really layered and the family might not want to speak to them.
And it's like a formal thing.
Yeah. I have full faith in Stephanie, but like, it's kind of like, it makes more sense for like one person to go in.
Yeah, it's like an official notice of death. You're not going to like show up with cameras.
No. So they go to Michelle's house, Melody's sister, and she's not home, but her daughter answers. And then she calls her mom and she's like,
There's police here and they said they need to talk to you about your sister.
My sister?
Yeah.
And Michelle's like, my sister?
I was just thinking about like all of the things that Michelle must have known in that moment.
Right.
Because, and it's a moment of true confusion for her.
And we don't see what Stephanie says to the family, which of course I totally understand.
Yeah.
But we just cut back and suddenly like everyone's at the house and Harmony is called to the house because Stephanie's like, the family wants to meet you. And I'm like, what? Okay, great. So the conversation went as well as it could have, all things considered.
Yes. And meanwhile, Harmony is like in a parking lot and Karen is at the airport and everyone's still trying to keep Karen in the loop. So off they're going to the family's house.
So now Stephanie and Harmony are filling in Karen on the details, which is where we get all the information because the conversation wasn't filmed, which we totally respect.
Which is really amazing. Like, it is important to, like, just say again that the show really takes care of this family in this moment. Like, we sort of see the house as they're walking in from, like, a very safe distance.
Yeah. So Jane Doe is Melody Harrison. They say the family started crying about the gold ring because their mom gave it to Melody.
They now this body was found in like 1993.
Yeah.
It's like whatever, you know, 2025, like they remember this ring.
Yeah. And so Melody had a boyfriend.
They said that she ran away with her boyfriend and that they never heard from her again. And they thought that she was like alive somewhere and were just hoping that they'd hear from her, but they never did.
And they thought she was alive. They didn't think that anything happened to her. They just thought like the fight was bad enough and she ran off with this guy and she went no contact for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And there's also a quick but like beautiful moment on the phone because Karen isn't here with us. But Karen goes, Melody, Melody, her name is Melody. Like she just wants to say it. And Harmony goes, her name is Melody. And I just thought that like it was so telling about these women and how they approached this case and probably all of the cases.
This person, like, they probably dream about this person.
And, like, she was Jane Doe for so long, and now that they know her name, they want to say it a million times.
It's also, like, a wild moment, too, because Karen is, like, boarding, but she's, like, they're boarding group one, I'm group four. Like, we've all had that tense moment at the airport of, like, wait, I can talk for, like, 30 more seconds.
Yeah, and she's, like, she'll miss the flight if she has, you know? It's just, like, when she goes, her name is Melody.
Yeah.
So Michelle is going to sit down and tell us about her sister, Melody, who was born in 1977 and died in 1992.
The thing is, like, they were so close. Like, Michelle is just saying, like, I remember the moments of, like, sitting in bed with her and just, like, laughing. And, like, all of these years, Michelle has just, like, thought that her sister was out there and, like, not calling her.
Yeah. They were best friends who, like, happened to be sisters.
Yeah.
And she says,
she just brought sunshine to the dark places. She was very outgoing. And she loved to sing, but she had a very serious side to her. She wanted to be an attorney. She was an excellent student, and everybody loved her.
Melody loved to sing, and she was outgoing, but she also wanted to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
The day that Melody left home, they Melody and Michelle had a fight about Melody's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And we don't know anything about him, but something happened and like he was causing some drama in the family. Like his existence, the family didn't like him.
They just didn't like this guy.
And I don't know how old he was, but 16, like there's a lot of strife here about this relationship.
And we get this moment with Michelle where she's like sitting doing her like two camera interview and she's talking about Melody and she just like stops. And she's like, I'm sorry. I'm like still processing this.
Yeah.
Like this must have all happened very fast. Like here's information about your missing sister. Would you like to sit down and talk about her? Probably happened like within a day or two.
Yeah. And you know, I would think that Michelle probably had to go through her own mourning process
of my
sister's out there and choosing to not speak to me because our fight was so bad. So that is what she's been living with for God knows how long.
And probably, we're putting a lot on Michelle here, but probably also thinking like maybe she's too embarrassed to call us now. Right. Maybe she thinks we don't want to talk to her,
and
but
maybe
we do.
One day.
Yeah.
Maybe the cops are saying, like, your sister's looking for you, not the tragic version of
it. Well, and that's the other thing, too. Like, there was so much in that moment where she goes, my sister.
Sister.
Because she knows she's going to get an answer.
Yeah.
Whatever the answer is, and she's probably run it around in her head 500 ways.
Yeah.
She's about to find out. Girl, Fabletics is back. I'm obsessed with Fabletics. My entire, like, workout wardrobe is Fabletics. And when I signed up as a new VIP with Fabletics, I got 70 to 80% off everything.
It's crazy.
How are they keeping the lights on over there?
And honestly, like, the quality, for 70 to 80% off is crazy when the quality, it's like this premium activewear that you'd expect from these very, very high-end brands.
Yes.
Only you're not getting the high-end price tag.
No, what we love the most was how easy the pieces are to wear throughout the day. So literally, like, I've got the gym shorts, but I've got the hoodie, then you can like wear it to the store. You can go out to lunch. I've got the denim. I've got like three pairs of the Fabletics denim. It's incredible.
Also, Nurses Week is coming up, everybody.
Ooh.
And Fabletics has scrubs too.
Yes.
Which I did not know at first, but they do. So if you're a healthcare provider or you have someone in your life who is, they're running a really good offer right now. New VIPs can get a scrub set for just $15.
It really is a one-stop shop, fam. You can get everyday sets. You can get your comfy pieces and even scrubs all in one place, which is pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing.
So fam, shop now at Fabletics.com/TCO to get 70 to 80% off everything when you sign up as a new VIP.
Take a quick style quiz and be sure to select TCO when prompted to unlock this offer.
This is a limited time offer, fam, so don't wait.
Again, that's Fabletics.com/TCO for 70 to 80% off everything as a new VIP. Like, they get in this fight about Melody's boyfriend. It got super heated. Melody took a walk and she just never came back. And everyone is out looking for Melody. They are over.
Except for the authorities.
Well, of course, because they file a missing persons report.
But I don't think much effort was really put in to them. She was just a person of color. She's just an angry teen. She's just probably ran away. But they didn't know who she was. And we're like telling them, like, she's not one to wander off.
And of course, her family's like, no, you don't know her. We do.
And so, like, you know, Michelle is saying that we cared. We were out there searching day and night. We're searching the woods. We're searching the cities. Like, we never stopped looking for her.
They said for years.
Yeah.
For years. And they always thought that maybe she was scared to reconnect or that maybe one day she would.
I mean, these are the things that you just, like, wake up thinking about in the middle of the night. Like, does she hate us or is she afraid that we hate her?
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, it sort of seems to me, and I think maybe Michelle even says it at one point, like, the idea of Melody being dead never really crossed their minds.
Yeah.
They never really allowed that as an option.
Because it was just a fight and she stormed out or whatever, you know? They were just like, fine, door slamming and then
like,
she left.
If the boyfriend was so awful, it's like maybe they're still together and he's brainwashed her and made her believe that we're terrible and she's better without us.
And you know what? That means they never heard from the boyfriend again either.
Well, I've got my only issue with this series, which isn't really an issue, is like we never really investigate what happened to the person.
Well, the case is still open
now
that there's a bunch of eyes on it.
Yeah,
apparently.
Because it's like how long after she ran away did she die?
Yeah.
You know, like we don't know. Was it days?
Did the boyfriend skip town too?
Right. Like we got to find that boy. Like there should be like the sister series, which is like finding out what actually happened in these cases.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
It's crazy.
But Michelle, she talks about going to Melody's grave and she says this like heartbreaking and sweet thing.
I always had this vision of us drinking coffee together. And so I might bring her some coffee and just sit there and just really chat with her.
I just figured we'd catch up over coffee. And she is sort of like, as she's saying it out loud, she's kind of realizing like, well, can I do that now in my own way to heal or grieve or whatever? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, of course. You can do, I mean, my God.
Whatever you want.
And they're going to go see her in the place where she's been buried all of these years. And she's bringing her son-in-law and her daughter with her. And we see them at the grave, and goddamn this show playing this beautiful fucking song.
That I think Michelle brought to play.
Yes, yes, she did. And like literally we see, again, at a respectful distance,
yes,
we see Michelle like lay down on the grave sobbing. And this awesome son-in-law, because like as they're approaching the grave, there's a bird chirps. Mm-hmm. And the son-in-law says, she's singing for you. And that was the moment that I like laid down on my computer and was like heave sobbing.
Yeah.
And the song is perfect. The song is beautiful.
And Michelle brought the coffee.
It's
the whole thing when he's like, she's singing to you. Do you hear that? And I was like, this is the best show on television.
It's so good. And like the son-in-law is sobbing. Everyone is sobbing.
You know, and it's not because I'm like reveling in this tragedy, but because like, do you see what can happen?
Yeah, because there's beauty in this too. As sad as it is, the family hasn't answered. There's some kind of closure here. You know,
yeah.
And like these amazing women who've been working so hard on this also have an answer.
And Michelle is here to say, not just in this case.
In the midst of all this grief, there really is some good that is coming out of this situation. When I told my father about Uncle Pat, he was like, I got a brother.
Patrick gets to meet his brother, Benjamin.
You completely forgot about this other part of the story that like Uncle Patrick and Benjamin are now going to be reconnected.
Who they didn't know the other one existed. So Michelle's like, in the middle of all of this, like the healing and the trauma, like these two men get to learn about each other and meet each other.
Yeah, and we see Benjamin, the dad, for the first time. And
Melody's dad.
Melody's dad. He's not doing well. Michelle tells us he's had several strokes. I wasn't clear. She says, we don't like to bring Melody up a lot because he could get sick at any moment. Did they tell him that they found her, or are they telling him that they found his brother and he gets to reconnect with his brother?
I'm not 100% sure.
I wasn't clear on if Benjamin understood what was going on here, if they were intentionally not telling him about Melody as to not upset him. Because Benjamin, the dad, who's not in good health, has missed his daughter every minute of his life since she left.
Yeah. And then when he sits down for the documentary, he said, I never had a brother. I was all by myself. And then Patrick says, you know, why did Melody have to die in order for me to meet my family?
And it seems like Patrick and Benjamin have had kind of lonely lives.
Yeah. I think they felt like they were missing something, but they couldn't put their finger on it and they didn't know what it was. And they were right the whole time.
Yes.
Like they knew, like, I feel like maybe they didn't know, but they knew that something was out there that they couldn't connect with, and now here we are.
Right, and like clearly Patrick went searching, which is why he put his DNA in the database in the first place.
Right, and Patrick goes, hi, Benjamin, and Benjamin goes, how you doing? And Patrick goes, I'm fine now. This show! And then Patrick goes,
I don't cry often.
I do.
I cry when I'm alone.
Well, you ain't alone now.
No. It's a heck of a feeling.
Patrick goes, I cry when I'm alone. And Benjamin goes, well, you're not alone now.
Anymore.
And Patrick goes, I know, it's a heck of a feeling. 10,000 seasons of the show. Why do we have all this other bullshit?
I know.
The Kardashians don't need another thing, Hulu.
I know.
More of this.
I know. I know. And the thing is, like, Patrick has come to Benjamin because Benjamin, you know, he's had a lot of strokes and his mobility isn't great. But he stands up. They are identical twins. You have to convince me they are not identical twins.
I know. They don't say what the age is, like how old they are, but they could be. If they told me they were twins, I would not be shocked.
It's also just amazing to watching these men processing finding their brothers in real and all of the emotion connected to that because they're both very emotional, but in their own ways, they're both kind of quiet. Like it's, you know, they're just standing there staring at each other.
And there is the air of what got them here, which is Melody.
And that, like, unfortunately, they don't have a lot of years left now that they found each other.
Yeah.
You know?
And everyone is also so grateful to Stephanie and the DNA Doe Project for, because this was a tough case for them and they never gave up. And that's not lost on anybody here. As we're ending and the family is, you know, we're told continuing to heal, they take a photo and someone's like, say cheese. And Patrick goes,
y'all want to say cheese?
Limburger.
Limburger cheese. Limburger cheese is good.
All right.
And Benjamin's like, Limburger cheese
really good
is good.
Cheese. Yeah, it's so funny because it's a German cheese.
Yeah, I have never had Limburger.
Me either. I've never heard of Limburger.
But
like,
it was a cute joke that they both got immediately. And it's like, this is going to be a really lovely reunion for them to come together and like have each other finally.
Yeah. And it like ends with Michelle, who's like still processing everything. And she just like drops these like bombs of wisdom. She's like, family is everything. That's all you have at the end of the day. You need to learn to grieve with hope, she said. Like, holy shit.
And so as we're ending, we learn that the police investigation into Melody's death continues, which is great. I didn't find any information on it today, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Maybe when this comes out in a couple months, there will be something. Fingers crossed. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the family has reburied Melody alongside her relatives. And it ends with this like gorgeous photo of her saying in memory of Melody Harrison, 1977 to 1992. And this is when you realize like she really does look like that facial reconstruction.
It's side by side. Like the facial reconstruction is like a picture of a picture.
We've come a long way.
Yes.
Remember like people would do like clay busts and they don't look like anything.
Absolutely. Wild. Those were insane.
We've really like the stuff that can be done here.
I know.
Should really, even if you're not interested in doing it, like you have to acknowledge that it's cool that it exists.
Absolutely incredible.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
10,000 more seasons Hulu right now.
Right now. Oh my God, girl, we did Naming the Dead, The Body in the Sand. How many episodes is this season?
It's only like 6 or 8. We're doing all of them.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. It's the same with like that other great show on Hulu with a terrible name, Web of Death.
Oh, the Robin Roberts one.
No, that's Murder Has Two Faces.
But also that only had
3 episodes. Haven't heard anything about a second season.
Yeah.
Don't know about Web of Death. Like Hulu.
Oh, Web of Death was one that Bob Ruff was on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About like people kind of very similar to like just like boots on the ground, like getting shit done.
Yep.
Hulu.
Get it together, Hulu.
Stop. Like, thanks for these 3 great series. 10,000 more seasons.
10,000 more seasons.
Starting tomorrow.
You need to go. I'm telling you, they would greenlight season 9 if you would go do it now.
I would do it. Let's go.
You We're should doing. Do it. Call her. Oh, fam, we love you so much. Thanks for hanging out with us. Bonus episodes are going great, girl.
I think they're great.
I know,
There are so many series that we can really dive into. Everyone's been requesting a lot of, there's like stuff we haven't done yet.
Yeah.
We're going to go to, you know, Old Faithfuls, like, this show, which is just like so important. And it feels like we're doing like good work.
Let's get a jewel heist in there if we can.
We'll try.
Okay.
We'll try for the bonus episodes.
Yeah, that's
like a regular feed jam.
Okay. I just needed some art being stolen.
Oh, we'll figure that out.
Oh, my friend Matt in Monaco reported back. He's having a very lovely time.
Safely.
He's doing okay. He's still alive. As far Matt Doyle is still with us, Broadway fans, as far as I know.
Safest unsafe place.
I know.
Unsafest safest place. Anyway.
All right. We love you, fam.
Bye. We love you. Stay safe.